This is episode 54 with the business networking strategist, Andy Lopata. Welcome to EntrepreneurCast. My name is Svetlana, and each day we share an inspirational story or message to help you create the business and life you deserve. Hi, Andy, and welcome to EntrepreneurCast. It's such a great pleasure to have you with us finally today.
The best things are worth waiting for.
Definitely. So, Andy, before we get started with the business side of things, tell us a little bit about who are you outside of your business and what do you enjoy doing in your spare time?
That's a good question. I'm single, I live alone, I go out and I act not to my age as much as I possibly can. I like going to concerts, a lot of gigs, I like comedy, I've done some stand-up myself, big sports fan, used to go to football a lot, but my team is currently being destroyed, so I'm not going, but I go to the cricket, occasionally rugby, and a lot of live sports, and I go to the gym whenever I can, and try and get some exercise, do Pilates, swim, read, go to the theatre. I've got quite varied interests.
Amazing. And what about the business? Tell us about your business. What is it that you do? And what inspired you to start it?
I sort of fell into it. I quit my job back in 1999 and said I'm never working for anyone else again and proceeded to go and work for my father. I was going to become a freelance writer, and he said, come and help us out with a new venture he'd started with a business partner, which were networking groups. And I said, I'll get a pub job as well, just to get some cash in. And he laughed and said, you won't have time. And that was 18 years ago, and I'm still in it. So I sort of fell into it. I went and worked with my father and his business partner, became a partner, became joint MD. My father and I sold that to our partner 8 years later, and then 9 years after that, I'm still going. And so it was never a conscious choice. It was a conscious choice not to work for anyone else, but this particular business has evolved. And what I do, I specialize in business networking. Now, that's quite a broad umbrella. So when most people think of networking, they think of networking groups, networking events, networking sites. While I do speak about those and I help people with those, that's not networking. They are merely tools in the networking process. So the focus for me is actually having a strategy behind the relationships that you build in your business life and understanding what you bring to those relationships and what those relationships can bring to you. And there's so much that we can benefit from each other, and we do to a degree. But there's so much more that we could achieve if we just focused on it. So it will range from how you generate referrals. Probably half of my work is referral focused. How you influence key decision makers, particularly those you can't get in front of. How your network can provide you with support through mentoring, through sponsorship, through ideas, and a range of things around that as well. And I deliver that through keynote talks. I do training in-house. I do a lot of mentoring in-house as well. So a range of different delivery techniques, and I've written books on the topic. So the delivery really depends what the client wants. It's the topic, the subject that's key for me.
Well, I know, yes, you are an author, and I read one of your books so far, and I'm about to read another one. Yeah. I know you're flying all over the world delivering the talks and trainings, but what would you say your typical day looks like?
I wouldn't. There isn't one. There isn't. You know, you could take today. Today, I was delivering a presentation, a two-hour presentation this morning for an association, a professional body, to 150 of their staff. They wanted to develop much stronger relationships between the different departments of the organization, get people to talk to each other, to know each other, and they weren't doing that. So I delivered a very interactive two-hour presentation. After that, I was going to be going to the airport to fly to Romania, but that's been postponed. because of protests there. So I met a colleague for lunch where we talked about potential marketing sponsorship campaigns for my next book. And then I came back to the office to catch up with email and to do this. Tomorrow I've got a local networking event in the morning. I've got a call with a client in Asia at 9:30 to plan a talk there in May. I've got a couple of other calls booked and scheduled, and the rest will be a proposal I have to write for another client in Asia, and planning doing some workbooks and slides for the Romania talk, updating my website with the talk that I did this morning. So I think there's a new talk in there. It was tailored for that client, but I think it will be of interest to many others. So every day is different. Every day. Then the following day, I'm going on an all-day course on how to be a more entertaining speaker. So even though I'm doing this regularly, you know, I'm looking at my continuous professional development as well, and what else I can learn. So I'm going to be trained by someone else.
Amazing. Andy, you know, through our entrepreneurial and business journey, we come across a lot of challenges. What would you say was your greatest challenge, and how did you manage to overcome it?
I think for any business, the biggest challenge is cash flow. I know it's a cliche, but that's where you stumble. You know, that's the most threatening challenge to any business. It's hit us two or three times in the 9 years we've been running in this business. And the way you overcome it is you know, cash flow is an immediate term thing, whereas my sales cycles are quite long. So you have to chase the money that's due, but then you have to up your game and make sure that you've got more money coming in to the pipeline. And the way I try and overcome it long term is creating a business where I have constant money guaranteed to come in, so that I'm not constantly looking to fill next month's pipeline and the month after. I want to be filling that some way ahead so that I can forecast more accurately. So I'd say that's the biggest challenge. The times when we've really struggled in the business, it's been my network that's pulled me through. Being open, this is what the next book is about, being open and honest and transparent with people and saying, I have a problem and I need help. And too many people don't do that, and you only find out they have a problem when it's too late to make a difference.
Yeah, definitely. Like I know a lot of people, they try to, even though they go through a lot of challenges, they try not to let people know about it because of the way they feel, like, oh, you know, I can't I have to put that brave face and show to the world that everything's all right. But and I think it is itself quite a big challenge to a lot of people to actually be that honest, be that transparent, and tell to people, you know what, I'm actually struggling, I need help.
And this is what, as I say, the new book is about, is what my more recent new talk is about, because I see that too often, and I've been guilty of it as well. We don't want to look vulnerable. We worry too much about what other people think. And one of the things I share in a lot of my talks is that we don't ask for help because we don't want to look vulnerable, but you can present your request for help in different ways. If I was to say, Svetlana, my business is struggling, we've no money, I keep losing clients because I'm rubbish at what I do, can you help me? I'm going to look weak, vulnerable, and you're not going to want to help me. But if I turn round to you and I said, look, the business is growing, we've been doing well, I have a challenge with cash flow in that clients don't pay for it quickly enough, and I want to look at how I invoice and how I position it so I can get the money that's out there in. Have you got any ideas? Suddenly I don't seem so weak and vulnerable, do I? And you can take any challenge. You know, a lot of people don't ask for referrals because it's weakness to ask. If you say, I have no business, please help me, please refer me, then you look weak and vulnerable. If you say, I've just completed this project for Coca-Cola. They are delighted. We've solved a major challenge for them. I know Pepsi-Cola have the same challenge, and I know you've got a contact there. Would it be helpful if you were to introduce me to see if I can help them as well? That doesn't sound weak and vulnerable. So it's all in how you present yourself, and also building a trusted network around you. So I'm not suggesting you go to everyone and say, I've got problems. You know, I'm not saying go out to the bus stop and approach a stranger, but surround yourself with people you can trust, you can be authentic and honest with, and who want to help you and are in a position to do so, and importantly, who know that you would do the same for them. And it makes a huge difference.
So on the bright side of things, what would you say was your greatest success within your business?
Greatest success, just still being here. You look at the stats for how many businesses don't succeed the first couple of years, and you know, in the form of three businesses, one of which was an almighty failure, we're still going after 17, 18 years. You know, I've had some ego boosting successes. I've published three books. You know, one was published by the Financial Times, one reached number two on Amazon. I've spoken all over the world in some amazing places. I've worked with blue chip companies as a, you know, we're a three person business and my client list is fantastic. They're all successes and they're all things that I'm very proud of. But actually, you know, still being in business after 17, 18 years, whatever it is, and maintaining sanity as well. I think that's a success.
Andy, where would you say, this is just a fun question I always like to ask, but where would you say you come up with your best ideas?
You just want me to say in the shower, don't you? A friend of mine used to teach creativity. Unfortunately, he passed away a few years ago. A guy called Kenny Harris. And Kenny, I remember Kenny in a talk, he talked about where your best ideas come. And he said, for a lot of people, it's in the shower. So he kept marker pens in the shower and he'd write his ideas on the towels. He said, but make sure they're not permanent marker pens. My best ideas, I think there is some truth to the idea that if you sit and focus on the idea and the challenge too long, the solution doesn't come. So sometimes when you're struggling, you need to go away from it. So, you know, if I go to the gym, if I go for a run or a walk, if I just get away from things, ideas come to me. So it's important to have your phone with you with your notes or a notebook. You know, I got another friend, Alan Stevens, carries a notebook everywhere with him. Whatever works best for you, carry something to capture it. I know people who keep these by their bed at night, you know, and I've woken up in the middle of the night with an idea. So very often it's when your brain switches off that it creates the space for the creativity to flow. I can't give you a specific with me. I haven't pinned that down, but I do know that that often happens. When my mind is elsewhere, the ideas will come.
Awesome. But, you know, the thing that you said with the shower, that's out of a lot of people that I interviewed, that's quite true, but not necessarily just with shower, but a lot of them said generally in water, okay, while they're swimming.
Yeah,
it could be in a swimming pool or you know, just any kind of place with water. And I think someone actually mentioned that, I think it's like because our body is like, you know, mainly made of water, so that's why when we are within water.
I'm not convinced about that. I think what's happening, because I used to swim a lot. And what happens when you swim, for me, it's the closest I ever get to meditation, because I haven't ever got on with meditation. But when you swim, you focus on your strokes. So in your mind, you're going 1, 2, 3, 4, breathe, 1, 2, 3, 4, breathe. You know when the end of the pool is, when you have to turn. And that does what I said before, it switches the mind off other things.
Mm.
The danger is, I found that when I was doing backstroke, if I suddenly got lost in work, I would forget my counts and I'd bang my head at the end of the pool. So you have to be careful with that. That happened to me more than once. But yeah, I'm not convinced about the water in water thing, but I'm no expert. Maybe there's truth to it. Call me Mr. Cynical. Certainly, I think there's something about being in a meditative state. And similarly, when you go to the gym and you're walking, you're focused on, you know, the pace you're running at, or the keeping your balance on the step, or whatever it may be. And that allows the space for other thoughts to fly in and out.
Andy, I know you're quite an inspiration, I think, to quite a lot of people, but you yourself, do you have any people that inspire you, or so-called personal heroes, and who are they?
Yes, I do. There are a lot of people around me who inspire me in different ways. I don't tend to look at celebrities as those personal heroes. There are one or two. Nelson Mandela, you know, I was in the anti-apartheid movement when I was at university. I was in South Africa for 3 months the year after the end of apartheid. I remember where I was when I saw Mandela being released from prison, and his whole approach was very inspirational. And that's not a very unique response to that question. People like Jon Stewart, who until last year presented The Daily Show in the US, who I just think is a wonderfully humorous, naturally funny, bitingly satirical person who, with a heart, who raised a lot of issues in an entertaining way, which is as a speaker and a trainer is what you have to do. So Jon Stewart would be there. But a lot are just in my personal network. There are other speakers that I work with, some of whom you know. They are, you know, I've started in the last couple of years since I got invited to participate in a session in Chicago. I've started doing work with Special Olympics, and this is for people who have learning disabilities, you know, autism or Down syndrome. And to meet these people and see what they've achieved in the sporting field and the Olympic space and what they're looking to do, you know, we're working with teaching leadership skills and presentation skills to a core of the athletes so they can spread the message, and to see their enthusiasm in the face of an adversity that most of us can only imagine, that's inspiring. So I think actually it's people like that, you know, who you would be given, you know, would be, you could give them every excuse to sit back and give up, but they don't. And there's something special about that.
Andy, you've been in the business for quite a while, and you know, you have you have a lot of experience and wisdom. So out of your experience and wisdom, could you give us your top three tips and strategies for any business owner that you could advise on?
Yeah, okay. So my number one thing would be to be very clear about what you're trying to achieve. Now, I'm not going to go into the whole written goals and so forth. That's not my space. I don't write my goals, and I know a lot of people will shoot me for that, but I know them, and I know them well. I know where I'm going. I know what I'm trying to achieve. I know what I want this business to look like. What that means is that something called your reticular activating system can kick in. Now, that's, you know, when you buy a new car, and when you've gone to get that car, no one else has been driving it. But as soon as you drive off the forecourt, everyone is. And that's your reticular activating system. Because you're really focused on it, you're aware of it, you suddenly become aware of it all around you. So if you know what you're looking to achieve, who you need to meet, where you need to be in your business, you recognize the opportunities you need to take when they're right in front of your nose. So that would be the number one thing for me. Number two is you can't do it alone. Don't try and do things on your own. Don't try and reinvent the wheel. Build a strong, trusted network around you, a network of people who you can be honest and open with, and you can turn to for support, and you need to be there for them as well. So it's a two-way process. So build a network of people around you who can give you objective advice at the right people. So it might be a mixture of paid advisors and supporters, for want of a better word, but make sure you have that safety net, that key net. And then the third thing I think would be follow the money. At the risk of sounding quite mercenary, you do you want a business or a hobby? So if, you know, when we set up this business, the goal, one of the first questions I asked myself is, who is going to pay? And how do we maximize the revenues we earn for the least effort? So, for example, we don't do open workshops. We work with corporate clients mainly. The only open workshops I will do would be presented by someone else, because we don't want to be in the business of selling seats for £200 and £200 and £200. The same cost of sale of trying to sell to a corporate is substantially more than that, and you don't have to find the venue and the catering and worried about people not turning up. So that was a very simple decision at the very beginning of the business. Now, someone else might say they prefer to run open workshops and not work with corporates because they know they can make more money that way, because their systems work the way they're set up, works that. So you've got to find out what's right for you. But you want a business you can enjoy. The whole point of being an entrepreneur is that you do stuff you love, for me. I don't see the point of going through all the uncertainty and the ups and the downs and the hell of it and the lack of security if you don't love what you're doing. But don't get carried away by that passion and forget about being paid, because it's that payment that makes, that gives you permission to do what you love. So that's three. That's three top tips off the top of my head. It might be three different tips tomorrow, but those are, I think those are three important things, and I think that they underpin a successful business, any successful business.
Thank you for sharing that with us, Andy. Pleasure. And did you come across any kind of resources that helped you within your business that you could also share with us?
Well, there's the number one by a long, long way. Now, again, this is what's right for me. This is for my profession. I became a member of the Professional Speaking Association in 2003, became a fellow about 5 years ago. I have surrounded myself with people who work in my industry, who work with the same clients, let alone the same type of clients, who face the same challenges. And as a resource for me, it's been phenomenal. As a learning resource, as a support resource, as a referral resource. So I would ask anyone listening, are you getting actively involved in your business association, the one for your industry? It doesn't matter if it's your competitors there. The National Speakers Association in the States, on which the PSA was founded, was formed by a guy called Cavett Robert. And he used to say, don't worry about the size of your slice of the pie, let's make the pie bigger. And that's the ethos, and I really appreciate that. And because of that, there's an abundance mentality within the PSA, which you've witnessed, because I invited you along and you became involved. And people there are there to support and to teach and to help each other. And that, beyond, you know, you can see behind me loads of books, and I read business books, and I watch YouTube, and I get involved with LinkedIn forums and Facebook discussions and so forth. But that community is the number one resource by a long way.
And talking of books, a lot of people I talk to, they would say that at some point in life they came across a book that changed their life. Did you have such an experience? Did you have a book that changed your life, and what was it?
No, I can't think of a book that's changed my life. In terms of business books, there are some books that have really resonated with me. I think fantastic books. Make It Stick by Chip and Dan Heath, I think, is up there. The Tipping Point by Malcolm Gladwell springs to mind as well. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. Those are the two. There are more, but they're the two that jump to the mind in this moment. I think, you know, they're the books you read and you go, yes, that makes sense, and yes, I need to do that. And it's simple, it's practical, it's easy to implement. And I think that's key as well. But that, you know, there's a range of excellent books, both on my topic and on running a business generally, that have helped and supported. The only books that have changed my life have been the ones that I've written, but that's not because of the content of them. But there have been books that have certainly helped me in my journey.
And of course, you've written the books, so tell us a little bit more about the books you've written as well.
So I've written three books so far. The first one was called Building a Business on Bacon and Eggs, and that was a three-person collaboration, and it was all about how to run business breakfast meetings. So quite niche. The second book, which you've mentioned, was called And Death Came Third, and that the title was based on a New York Times survey where they asked people what they were most frightened of, and death came third. And I wrote this book with a good friend of mine called Peter Roper. The top two fears were walking into a room full of strangers. So my half of the book is all about how to network at networking events. And the second was how to speak in public. And Peter talks about how to overcome your fears of that. And I'm overjoyed with the success of that book. You know, people still reference it back to me. It's relatively well known. And I think it's a practical, easy read. It's not a heavyweight book by any means, but it's not intended to be. It's simple, practical advice, hopefully written in an entertaining way. And the third book is Recommended, which was published by Financial Times Prentice Hall 5 years, 6 years ago. And that is how to implement a networking and referrals strategy. You know, I believe that referrals are left to chance far too often. Networking is done, you know, as an afterthought. And people are missing out so much because of that. And having a strategic approach, a platform from which to launch your business forward is absolutely key. So that's the point of recommend. And then I've mentioned the next book we've got scoped out. We're talking to publishers at the moment, which is all about your support network.
Amazing. Yeah, and it's true. Actually, a lot of people I've interviewed said the same thing, that a lot of their clients come through recommendations.
Yeah.
Which was really interesting to find out. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't marketing techniques or pay-per-click or anything like that. It was actually Mindy. You know, which we both know, she said that at some point, I think she had a workshop, and everyone in the room came there through recommendation, and I thought that was amazing.
Well, Mindy, for those who don't know Mindy has two businesses, one of which is the Book Midwife, and she helps authors write their books, and she worked with me on recommended, so I would hope she's getting lots of referrals. And she gets networking, you know, she's been involved with that for years. But you talk to most businesses, unless you are a business to consumer brand, and particularly a big one, let's say a Vodafone, a McDonald's, a Coca-Cola, they don't rely on word of mouth as their primary source of business. They rely on big campaigns and so forth. For the rest of us who don't have that level of money to invest, recommendation or word of mouth. And even those who do, the big banks, the big law firms, the big accountancy practices, most of their new business will come through recommendation and referral. The question is how seriously they treat it. Because I don't advocate dropping other routes to market. You know, I had this lunch today about a marketing plan for the new book. That will be traditional marketing, partly, what we're talking about. They're all part of the marketing mix. But the interesting thing is, you look at many big businesses, those with budgets, they will invest money in advertising. They will invest money in pay-per-click. They will employ PR consultants or PR teams. They will have marketing managers. But you find a penny that's spent deliberately and strategically on word of mouth, recommendation and referral, and you're going to struggle. And people get complacent about it and they assume it's going to happen. Well, you know, if you're lucky enough and it does, great. Couldn't you do better if you focused on it? And if we all accept that most of our best new leads come through recommendation and referral, then shouldn't we be focusing our time, effort, energy and money on that rather than solely on the other routes to market?
Well, thank you for sharing that with us, Andy. Andy, you came a long way. You've been in your business for a while now, and you know, you achieved a lot. You travel all over the world. But what is next for you? What's your next big goal, aim, dream? And if there is someone listening today who could potentially help you get there, who would it be?
Well, the next big goal for the business as a whole is to really develop our passive income streams. So I sell my time at the moment, and the business is built on my time. So if I don't work, we don't earn. And that's where we need to move away from that position. So we've had a couple of starter attempts to get there, but we're not quite there yet. We do have online learning programs, but we tend to build that into the programs we run with our corporate clients rather than sell those independently. Although we do sell them independently, they are available. We don't market those particularly heavily at the moment. In terms of who can help us get there, it's a difficult one to answer in the sense that I am talking to potential joint venture partners who are going to help us implement that program. What I've learned, and I guess if you want, you go back to your three tips. Here's the fourth: focus on what your skill sets are and get other people in to help with what you're not strong at, and implementing process is not a strength of anyone in the business. So we're talking to people around that, but I think that we're always interested in exploring people who have routes to market where they want to offer content, and it's the right market for what we offer. You know, if we can find a strong joint venture where someone is carrying our online learning, or we work with them to create something new, and they're carrying the other products that we have to the right market, to the people that will want it. So we're producing the content and they're producing the distribution. That's ideal.
We're coming to the end of the interview, but before we say our goodbyes, is there anything else you would like to share with us or advice to the listener today?
There's still so much left unsaid. I would reiterate the point I made a couple of minutes ago, and that's focus. You know, networks, whether it's for referrals, whether it's for support, whether it's getting your name out there, it's influencing people. They benefit from you spending some time focusing on them. And the challenge that all of us have is time. So these things become the first thing we drop. I don't have time this month to meet people for coffee. I don't have time to pick up the phone. Well, make the time. Even in your business, busiest stages of your business, make the time. Because the more you build relationships, the more you build trust, the more you invest in those relationships, the more you ask for help when you're entitled to, because you've got that relationship in place, then the more time you're going to save. Because people will help you achieve what you're trying to achieve on your own. They'll give you the benefit of their experience. They'll make introductions for you. But you have to invest up front. My favorite quote is from a lady called Elizabeth Asquith Bibesco. And it's, blessed are they who give without remembering and receive without forgetting. Give without remembering, receive without forgetting. You have to invest, invest, and invest in your network. And when you do that, be willing to ask for help when appropriate. Never on a quid pro quo. Never because you've helped someone else, they owe you. It doesn't work like that. But if you've invested, people will want to help and support you. And be willing to ask for that help and support when you know the relationship is strong enough and you need it. Because if you need to put both sides of that equation. If you don't invest in the relationships, people will only help you begrudgingly and it won't have any longevity. And if you invest but you don't ask for support, you're missing out. So it's both sides of it.
Thank you so much for sharing all your advice and your story with us today. And it's been a total delight. What's the best way for anyone who would like to get in touch with you? What's the best way to get in touch with you?
My email is andy@lopata.com. That's lopta.co.uk. Twitter at Andy Lopata. Beauty of having a name like mine. Facebook.com/networkingstrategy. And I'll respond on any of those. You can follow me on LinkedIn. Please do not send me a connection request without a personalized message on LinkedIn. At least make the effort to tell me why you want to connect and where you heard me. And you should do that to everyone. That's not me being arrogant. That's what you should do for everyone. You can see I have a bugbear about impersonal LinkedIn requests. But yeah, any of those ways is absolutely fine. If people want more support and help with their networking, if you go to lopata.co.uk /resources, there are hosts of free resources there. There's blog videos, webinars, podcasts. We might even put this up there. My YouTube channel, just search for my name, has over 100 videos. And if you go to /networking-shop on my website, lopata.co.uk/networking-shop, you can get recommended Building a Business on Bacon and Eggs and Death Came Third, our online learning courses, DVDs, etc. So there's a wealth of resources there, both for free and you can invest in as well.
Again, thank you so much for coming on the show. It took us a while to get here, but thanks very much for all of that, and I really look forward to seeing you sometime soon.
Yeah, I hope it was worth it, and thanks for inviting me on.